A House Democrat announces her retirement. Bipartisan senators have questions about a major data breach. And the Government Accountability Office releases their report on improper payments. For the week of April 1st, 2024, from Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., this is Health on the Hill, brought to you by Heart Health Strategies. I'm Matt Duckworth.
In addition, your written testimony discusses that in fiscal year 2021 alone, improper payments made up for 21% of all Medicaid spending. That's one in every $5 spent improperly. These numbers are staggering. Surely we can all agree.
Kicking off this week's episode with news from the federal agencies, where the Government Accountability Office has released a new report on government-wide improper payments made in fiscal year 2023, finding that total improper payments declined by $11 billion from the prior fiscal year. According to the report, programs at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services accounted for an estimated $100 billion of $236 billion in improper payments across all federal agencies. The Medicare program saw $51.1 billion in improper payments, while the Medicaid program saw $50.3 billion.
Performs three critical functions on behalf of the federal government: policymaking, technology delivery, and oversight of member compliance with its policies and with its procedures. However, more than a decade now, government watchdogs and the media have questioned the adequacy of the network's oversight.
It was Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican from Iowa, who joined Democratic Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon last week in sending a letter to the United Network for Organ Sharing, or UNOS, regarding a November 2023 data breach that gave unauthorized access to at least 1.5 million patient records to Organ Procurement and Transplantation Network and DonorNet system users. The lawmakers outlined the multiple prior concerns that they've raised regarding UNOS's data security and its ability to operate critical information technology. Wyden and Grassley criticized UNOS's, quote, apparent inability to efficiently and effectively operate the OPTN, unquote, and request details about the November data breach no later than April 10th.
With Senator Elizabeth Warren saying in part, Steward's explanations for its failings do not add up. It's clear that Steward executives put profits over patients and went to great lengths to hide critical information about its financial status from state officials.
Massachusetts Senators Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey, both Democrats, are once again calling on the head of a for-profit health system to testify at an upcoming field hearing on April 3rd, hosted in their state, about the impact of for-profit companies on patient access to health care. The lawmakers sent a letter to the CEO of Steward Healthcare Systems, following up on their initial invitation to testify before the Senate Health, Education, Labor and Pensions, or HELP Subcommittee on Primary Health and Retirement Security last month. The letter reads, quote, investing in and operating a healthcare system includes a responsibility to the public. It goes on to say, you must answer for Steward's current financial insecurity and its impact on access to health care. Unquote. Some news from the judiciary today, where more than 250 congressional Democrats have filed an amicus brief ahead of a case in which Supreme Court justices will consider whether Idaho's near-total abortion ban is subject to the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, or EMTALA's, requirements that abortion be offered when it constitutes the necessary stabilizing treatment for a pregnant patient experiencing a medical emergency. The brief reads, quote, if this court allows Idaho's near-total abortion ban to supersede federal law, pregnant patients in Idaho will continue to be denied appropriate medical treatment, placing them at heightened risk for medical complications and severe adverse health outcomes, unquote. The lawmakers also caution that, quote, healthcare providers forced to let Idaho's abortion law take precedence over their medical judgment about their patients' best interests, will continue their exile from Idaho, creating maternity care deserts all over the state. Unquote. The brief was led by Senators Chuck Schumer of New York, Patty Murray of Washington, Ron Wyden of Oregon, and Dick Durbin of Illinois, along with Representatives Hakeem Jeffries of New York, Catherine Clark of Massachusetts, Frank Pallone of New Jersey, Jerry Nadler of New York, Diana DeGette of Colorado, and Barbara Lee of California.
Improving public health and advancing equitable economic opportunity. When used and overseen responsibly, AI can help agencies to reduce wait times for critical government services, improve accuracy, and expand access to essential public services. So the policy signed today will make it easier to share and collaborate across agencies and with our industry partners.
That was the voice of Deputy Director of the Office of Management and Budget, Nani Coloretti, who was speaking during the White House's release of the first government-wide memo for federal departments and agencies on the use of artificial intelligence. The memorandum directs agencies to advance AI governance and innovation while managing risks from the use of AI, particularly those affecting the rights and safety of the public, and follows President Joe Biden's October 2023 executive order on the safe, secure, and trustworthy development and use of artificial intelligence. Agencies will be required to designate a chief AI officer within 60 days to coordinate the use of AI with existing officials and organizations within the agency. The memo also outlines requirements for the creation of publicly reported annual AI use case inventories, including an identification of which use cases are safety impacting and rights impacting, and how agencies are working to manage those risks.
I spent a lot of time with my family this winter. We did a lot of skiing and traveling, and I realized I have a life. And my husband, Brad, has been very patient. I want to spend time with my sons as they're heading into their married lives and hopefully grandchildren on the way.
Final news today, where Representative Annie Custer, a Democrat from New Hampshire who you just heard, will not seek re-election this year. Custer has served in Congress since 2013 and currently sits on the House Energy and Commerce Committee and Health Subcommittee. She also chairs the centrist New Democrat Coalition. House Democratic leadership touted Custer's leadership in addressing the opioid crisis and lending a voice to survivors of sexual assault following her retirement announcement. A running list of members of Congress who are retiring or seeking other office can be found in our weekly written policy briefing on the news page of our website, www.hhs.com.
The meeting will come to order. Welcome to the Ways and Means Committee organizing meeting for the 118th Congress.
The Committee on Energy and Commerce will come to order. The chair recognizes herself for an opening statement.
And it's a pleasure to bring together the first meeting of the Finance Committee in the 118th Congress.
Good morning. The Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions will come to order. All right, we did it officially.
We end each week's episode with the call to order, where we lightning round congressional meetings and hearings in the near future that you need to know about. First, on Wednesday, April 3rd at 11 a.m., the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, or HELP Committee, holds a field hearing in Massachusetts titled, When Healthcare Becomes Wealthcare, How Corporate Greed Puts Patient Care and Health Workers at Risk. And last, on Wednesday, April 10th at 10 a.m., the Senate Foreign Relations Committee hosts a hearing entitled, Fiscal Year 2025, United States Agency for International Development Budget Request. Thanks again for tuning into this week's episode of Health on the Hill, brought to you by Heart Health Strategies. For more information on this week's healthcare happenings in the administration and on Capitol Hill, you can visit our website at hhs.com and click on the news section at the top of the page. You can subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SoundCloud. Did we miss a story you wanted to hear this week? If so, email me at mduckworth@hhs.com, and we may include it in our next episode. Have a great week, and stay healthy.